yet another matinee edition of the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast coming to you on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Elio, he's Ben. This is 287. Ben, what's going on?
God damn, we're getting too familiar with each other. yes, these matinee editions are becoming a thing. But
they kind of work because then I get to do whatever I want on a Tuesday night.
Yes, and in addition to that, we also have NXT on Tuesdays, which, you know, is not necessarily my thing, but we have to do it primarily for wrestling POV. So this kind of works for us. But today is kind of a very important show on a multitude of fronts. One, because it is the Survivor Series post-show. And of course, unless you're living under a rock and you have no idea what the fuck's going on, the wrestling world kind of imploded as a result of what happened at the end of Survivor Series. And as we get closer to discussing that topic, because we have a few other things I want to touch on beforehand. You know, I just want you to keep in mind the reaction of the IWC on both ends of the spectrum, from those who expected Punk to come back and those who didn't. Because, to be honest with you, those that did expect him to come back, those people are kind of pissing me off.
And they're acting like we all told you he'd be back.
And I'll admit to you right up front that I'm one of those who didn't think that he would come back.
No, same here. I didn't think either.
And I'm being honest with you, and Elio just gave you his take. And Elio, before we go any further, if I say anything on this show that doesn't line up with anything that I've said in the past, please call me out. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because you have been on every podcast I've ever done, whether it be on this one or POV.
I hope so. I record them.
but with POV too, and you don't record. I don't think you record those.
Why? Well, whenever Tony's out there, I'm the one recording. But yeah.
So yeah. I mean, it's got to be close to 400 episodes we've done together at this point. And so you've heard everything that I've had to say about CM Punk. So if something doesn't line up with something I've said in the past, please, put me on blast.
I remember the one we recorded when downstairs in my kitchen, where we were talking about the all outer chaos.
Exactly. Yeah. So just, you know, Elio will tell you whether I'm full or shit or not. And spoiler alert, I'm not. So just, make sure you have your big boy pants on for this podcast, because this is going to be a good one. Right. But first, before we get into any of the fun stuff, we're going to start with something serious, a serious news item. I always take stuff like this very seriously. And it's no laughing matter. So we'll get this out of the way and then we'll start having some fun. But Tammy Sitch, aka Sunny, will no longer be having any sunny days. And in all seriousness, I can't speak for Elio. We have not spoken of this prior to coming on the air, but I have no sympathy whatsoever for Miss Sitch, because she one, she killed somebody, but two, you know, she's done this countless times prior to killing somebody. So,
do you have do you have the comments there?
Oh, yes, I do. I have
yeah,
her.
Okay. Yeah, because I was reading them myself.
I have her statement to the judge that she made prior to being sentenced to a total of 17 years.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I was reading those myself
last time. So, because we only read official things on this show, let me start with that one. So I quote, when I was 16 years old, I applied to college to study biology and pre-med because I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to help people through their pain and suffering, but more importantly, I wanted to heal people. The first line in the Hippocratic Oath reads, "I will do no harm." On March 25th, 2022, I did the opposite of that. I did harm to somebody else, or to someone else, and my entire being was crushed. My career path took a different path from medical, but my morals and ethics remained the same. During this time, I was able to think about times I helped people throughout my career. Through my time in the industry, I was able to help people from one spectrum to the other. There's a typo on here, so I misspoke. I was able to entertain and bring happiness to people's lives. Once I was able to help a stranger who was having a seizure at one of my appearances at a convention, and I've made terminally ill children's dreams come true through the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I have done something horrible, but I am so much more than the worst that I have done. I try to think about the good I have done, because when I think about what I did to the Lassiter family that tragic day, for a stupid decision, I feel the regret and remorse deep inside my soul. I know they don't get to rest knowing he's gone, because when I was 20, I lost my father as well to heart disease. What? Okay, well, that took a turn I wasn't expecting. Holy shit. Okay. My bad. Let me restart that one.
No, no, you're not. Because... You're right. I'm following along. You're right. I lost my. That was the end of the sentence.
Okay, but I just wasn't expecting that turn. I'm sorry. Okay, so I know they don't get to rest because he's gone, or knowing he's gone, because when I was 20, I lost my father as well to heart disease. Last August, my 87-year-old grandmother passed away when I was incarcerated. I never got to say goodbye to her, just like they didn't get to say goodbye to their beloved family member. I know how it hurts and how it tears you up, and for that, I am truly sorry. I know my words are not enough, but please know that I will do everything I can to make sure that this never happens again.
Will never happen again, because you're not gonna be able to do anything. You're already locked up.
Well, yes, and on top of the 17-year sentence, one was a 10-year sentence for one count, and then the other one was a 7-year. She has to serve at least 85% of that, which is 14 and a half years. And also, another condition of her sentence is that she never gets to drive again. So why that wasn't done 10 years ago, I'll never be able to figure that out. I don't know. How she got access to a car to be able to get into this accident with Mr. Lassiter losing his life in the first place, I'll never be able to figure out.
And I'm reading something new here as well.
Okay, and
this is according to PWA Insider. Tammy Lynn Sitch has enraged the pro wrestling world by blaming her downfall on Chris Candido's death during her sentencing.
Oh Lord, I didn't see that part. Please read that.
No, I just saw that just now. And if it's PW, it's on Ringside. But if it says PW Insider, I believe them because we've used them in the past on Wrestling POV Global.
Absolutely.
So I have comments here. We heard from a lot of people within the wrestling world upset about Sitch using the death of Chris Candido as her downfall in her statement to the court before sentencing, feeling there was behavior from her well before Candido's passing that were red flags as to the direction that he was going in personally, as well as noting that there was infidelity there and it wasn't on Candido's part, and that Sitch's own autobiography admits that. I took the comments to mean that when Candido passed, she spiraled out and never regained her footing, which is certainly true. That's all it says here. But still, that's not an excuse for what she did.
Oh, that's just low down. I mean,
yeah, but like the pro wrestling, like it says, she enraged the pro wrestling world because everyone's mad.
Well, justifiably so, in my opinion,
What are you using Chris Candido's death as an excuse? That's no excuse.
I mean, everybody says, you know, what a good guy Chris Candido was. You know, nobody has a negative thing to say about Chris Candido. Mm-hmm. And while nobody's perfect, you know, I think Sonny has obviously come out looking, you know, much, much worse in this scenario. And while I don't dismiss the pain that she went through as a result of his passing, it doesn't dismiss the havoc that she's caused.
Yep.
Going on 30 years later. I mean, it's just. Not 30 years because he passed away in 2005, but her using that as an excuse is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep.
It's absurd. I will never be able to understand people who use that kind of logic. I don't know. But anyway, so we wanted to kind of get that out of the way early on in the show, but we did want to cover that because that has been a story that has been going on for a long time that finally has some semblance of resolution. And certainly we hope that brings some peace to the Lassiter family first and foremost, because they are the true victims in this situation. Certainly not Tammy Sitch.
Yep.
But now we will shift gears to what we really came to talk about, which was the Survivor Series. And just as a reminder, because this is a pay-per-view review, we will be going through the entire thing and not just high points and low points. So with that in mind, Elio, do you want to take the lead on this or do you want me to?
All right. I get it because I got this. I get the results open.
Okay.
So there was no match on the kickoff. I didn't even watch it. So.
No, I didn't either. Who cares?
All right, first of all, can we appreciate the official theme for WWE Survivor Series War Pigs by Black Sabbath, one of my absolute favorite tracks off of their Paranoid CD?
Absolutely, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this the second consecutive year that they've used War Pigs for Survivor Series?
Oh, I believe so. I believe one of them was when we did the wrestling POV, but NXT was doing the War Games. And they
Okay.
used War Pigs for that one.
So that they've used it multiple times, which thank you, Triple H, for that decision.
Right.
We're
We're not worthy. We're
not,
not
well, absolutely not. And just that in and of itself, just
if you
that
don't get
tweet.
the movie reference, I don't know what to tell you. Go watch Wayne's World.
Well, if you don't get that movie reference, I don't know why you're listening to this podcast, first and
Right.
foremost. But you know, even something that small as a decision, really demonstrates the differences between like a Vince McMahon regime and a Triple H regime.
I did like the official theme for Halloween Havoc. I like the group Vampire because I was listening to them.
Yeah, and that's another example. And music has always been a big deal to Triple H, and and music has always been a big deal to wrestling. It sets the stage for the whole thing. You know, that's why entrance music is so important to the development and presentation of a character.
Yeah,
And
so why is Death Rebel recording terrible themes? Stop.
Well, Death Rebel is just something that shouldn't exist in a WWE space. I'm sorry.
Right.
They just shouldn't, now I know Paul Heyman got in trouble for using, mainstream mainstream tracks back in ECW, but he had the idea right.
Yeah.
Because that was much better than, Death Rebel or fucking, whatever.
CFO.
Yeah, I think that's what I was looking for. Thank you. And even, and of course, if you're having a music related conversation in WWE, you have to give all due respect to the legendary Jim Johnston as well. So,
Yep.
thank you to Triple H for bringing back that kind of thought process and
Absolutely.
consideration when it comes to the music we use in these sorts of events. We certainly appreciate it, and we salute you, sir.
So the opening match is the Women's War Games. We have Bianca Belair's team, which consists of Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, Shotzi, Becky, and Becky Lynch, defeating Damage Control. And I really thought that they would give this to Damage Control, seeing so they repackaged it and just like added Asuka and Kairi Sane to the group.
Well, and I can certainly understand that because at one point I was leaning in that direction myself. What made me kind of switch gears and make me think that it was going to go in the direction of Team Bianca was as soon as they bought Becky Lynch into the fold. And as soon as they really started playing off of her problems with Charlotte Flair, that's what made me think, okay, this can go one of two directions. Either they're gonna use that as a catalyst for Damage Control to win because they'll exploit that, or Becky and Charlotte will come back together, and that will be the catalyst for their team to win. And but ultimately, what made me pick Team Bianca in this situation, what was How do I put this so it makes sense? Shit. I'm no, we're not taking calls right now. But
Kids,
I'm,
check with your parents before dialing.
yeah, yes, and we charge $1 a minute, so just be prepared. But no, I don't know why it's so hard for me to put this into words, but it seemed to me that the damage control is like moving on without Bailey. So like that whole storyline of how they handled the ending made sense for me as to why they went with Becky Lynch and company for Team Bianca.
Okay.
Now originally, I picked Team Bianca because it seemed like a super team, and damage control was just getting started again. And yes, it would have made sense for those same reasons for damage control to win, but it seemed like Team Bianca had more team spirit, for lack of a better term,
Okay.
had more continuity, I suppose. I know I did a horrible job explaining that, but so my apologies, but for some reason it just struck me that Team Bianca had a better chance, so I made that my official prediction in the wrestling POV points game, and it paid off. Because had I gotten that wrong, my entire pay-per-view points game would have been fucked up beyond all recognition. So,
Well, that was like 40 points, but the men's game was 50 points.
yes, and but the war games for the men was easier to predict
Yeah.
than I think the women's were, because the women's could have logically gone in either direction. Now, match wise, to be honest with you, I wish that phone would stop ringing, God damn
Right?
it. But
People don't
match
listen. They want
e exactly.
to
But match
Thank you,
wise.
receptionist. Thank you, thank you, sir, for answering the phones for us.
Exactly. But what I did like about this match was the story that was being told within it. I felt like that really helped pull it together, where the wrestling was a little bit lacking at points, because it
I love that
was
one spot that Io pulled off from the top of the cage.
yes, exactly, with the trash can spot. Yes,
Yeah.
that was tremendous, and she's a different breed of individual for doing that. She really is the genius of the sky. She lived up to her moniker for doing that.
Yep.
She's insane. I have a problem with heights, so even if I wasn't severely disabled, I would not be jumping 20 feet off the top of the cage. No, that would not be happening, no matter how much you offered to pay me. No, but so there were some compelling spots, and storyline wise, especially the story that they started to tell with Bailey toward the end, with really taking a lot of the bullets for damage control and doing everything she could to get to help her team win. That tied it together toward the end, but to be honest with you, this War Games match fell into a lot of the pitfalls that other War Games matches fall into. I felt like they were waiting for a lot of the big spots to develop. And I hate it when the big groups of people just stand there and wait for the people to jump off the cage. I understand why they have to do that from a safety perspective. So don't get it twisted. I get it, but it's just like a pet peeve. Like, oh, let's just stand there and wait and act all discombobulated and not try to get the human being off the top of the cage so they don't jump off on top of us.
Right.
Wouldn't that strike you as more logical? So this one... the last 10 minutes of the match really made it war games for me. But the rest of it left a lot to be desired. And for a 33-minute match in total, 10 minutes isn't really enough to draw me in. You know what I mean? There has to be more. Within the substance of the match for me to give it more than a 3-star rating that I'm going to give this match.
That's what I was going to say. Just give me a minute. I'm just going to pull up wrestling news data so I can give you their rating.
Exactly.
So, okay, I'm just pulling this up here. Survivor Series. Okay, so Survivor Series, this one got a 4.8 out of 6.
I think that's a little too generous.
I would give it a 3.
I would too. And I was very surprised when Tony was very complimentary over this match. I believe he gave it an A, and all due respect to Tony, I'm not sure what he was watching from that perspective. But when we come back, I want to get Elio's thoughts on this match, because I kind of dominated that segment, and I do apologize. When we get back, it will be all Air Elio.
What are you talking about? Did this match the women's war game?
Yeah, oh, I kind of dominated that one, and I apologize. I shall shut up upon our return, and it will be all Elio when we get back.
All right, we're back. So I'm going to get into my take on the women's war game. I enjoyed the match. I really liked the Io Sky spot. Of course, they had the Charlotte Flair super. Moonsault off of the top of that cage.
She actually hit it. I give her credit. She actually hit the moonsault.
I think this was a great opening match for the pay-per-view. And yeah, I give the B plus this one. Which is a 3 out of 6. All right. And now, Ben, as I told you before we hit record, I have that one person's... take on all these matches.
The somewhat controversial take, okay.
So, all right, here we go. The women's war game match. Good and fine with some decent action, I suppose. Plus two dramatic spots off the top of the cage, but I can't say I had any emotional involvement whatsoever. 3 1/4 stars.
For that match, that's a fair assessment, I feel like.
All right, so on to the next match. We have, for match number 2, for the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther, his name is Walter.
Yes, exactly.
Versus the Miz.
Bitch-ass motherfuckers. It's the fucking... It's Walter. It's not Gunther.
This match felt more like a Monday Night Raw match. It was okay, but there was nothing really great or outstanding about it.
Exactly. And for me, you know, it felt like they were trying to get me to buy into the Miz having more of a chance than a lot of Gunther's previous challengers, and that's a problem because you know and this is nothing against the Miz. It's just that how the Miz has been positioned in 2023 in particular, from a win-loss perspective, has been pathetic. As a matter of fact, I'm positive that I don't even have to look this up. The Miz's win total in 2023 is in the single digits, folks. And yet I'm supposed to believe that he has a chance of winning the title against Gunther. Now, in all fairness, okay,
I'm gonna look that up. Sorry, I don't know how I got muted, but I'm gonna look that up myself while you're talking. Go ahead.
Okay, now in all fairness, I will give the Miz two points here. Now, from a resume perspective, he has every right to be challenging for the Intercontinental Championship, because he is tied for I believe he's either tied or one behind Chris Jericho for the most reigns. I always thought
he's behind Jericho because they said it on the pay-per-view. If he won, he would have tied it.
Yes, I believe The Miz has 8 and Jericho has 9. And then the other thing is, The Miz is a Grand Slam champion. He does have everything in his resume to be put in that position. It's just that currently, with the way he's been positioned, it's kind of a joke.
Okay, I'm sorry. This must be his overall win-loss record because I'm not seeing it for 2023 on the site I'm using.
And, you know, but trust me, it has to be in the single digits. It has to be. And what's even more ridiculous, and I might sneeze because of the ridiculousness. False alarm. But what's even more ridiculous than this match is the fact that The Miz is getting a second chance at Gunther and the Intercontinental Championship.
Is that the next show? Next pay-per-view?
Right. I believe so. It was confirmed on Raw.
I know what I'm saying, but that would be happening at Royal Rumble, right?
I suppose. Which in and of itself, nobody needs to see two matches with Gunther and The Miz. It just doesn't need to be a thing. You know, and in terms of the match itself, like I said, with the caliber of talent that Gunther has faced before.
Okay, so Ben, sorry, I have this a win loss record for 2023, 4-19. 4 wins, 19 losses is what I'm seeing here. 4-19-0.
And yet he's only had, you know, so that's pathetic in and of itself. And the fact he's only had 23 matches in 2019. Or in 2023, excuse me. It's just pathetic.
Porch is out 23 losses and six, no, 22 losses and 6 wins.
Well, that's just sad. And we're going to get more into Alpha Academy when we get over to the Raw review. But it's just, there was nothing in this match that made me believe for a single solitary second that The Miz was going to beat Gunther, despite WWE's best effort to make us believe. I think it was Tony that brought up a good point on Wrestling POV. I'm not sure if Gunther has made anybody tap out before, and yet he made
I said he made Ricochet tap out when he won the title.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then this is only the second time, but it's not like it's a regular thing. So,
right.
So that in and of itself lends less credence to The Miz getting a second opportunity for the title, because it's like, why? Now, I do give The Miz credit for cutting a good promo on Gunther prior to the match taking place on last week's Raw. That was good. But, you know, there was, this match just didn't need to be a thing, let alone on the pay-per-view. Next to War Games matches, it felt like such a lower priority than some of the other matches on the card. You know what I mean?
And wrestling, and that wrestling data was awfully generous.
Well, and what did they give it?
They gave the 4 out of 6.
Okay, well, they must be fans of Gunther, which I don't blame them for, but come on now.
And that one guy gave his review.
Yes.
For 17 years, The Miz has churned out vanilla 2.5 to 3.5 star matches, all the while ironically clocking cash and titles. This was a bit better than most of his bouts, but far from great, and not for a second did you doubt the outcome. 3.25 stars.
In this case, I absolutely agree with him. So,
it's next match then?
Yes.
All right, next match we have is Santos Escobar versus Dragon Lee. This one went 7 minutes with the two guys in this match. I really wanted to see a bit more. This felt like a shorter match with these two.
Well, I think you're being diplomatic. Bless your heart, you are known as a gentleman. But I wanted to see a lot more of this. And
that's what I just said.
No, you said you wanted to see a bit more. I said I wanted to see a lot more, and I had a lot.
Oh yeah,
more.
I got about like a lot more, a bit more, whatever. But yeah. I wanted to see more from these two than what we got. This felt too short.
Yes, absolutely. And I was thoroughly disappointed in this match, because when they announced that Dragon Lee was replacing Carlito, I was very, very excited about it. And coming into the pay-per-view, yes, they announced it 2 days before the pay-per-view, but once they announced it, this was the match I was looking forward to most.
I mean, I'm really upset, Ben. Carlito doesn't think that's cool at all. I wanted to be in that match.
Well, Carl, and I explained this a little bit on Wrestling POV, because
it's still not cool.
Well, from Carlito's perspective, I can completely understand that, because one, he got beat, but two, his connection to the LWO really doesn't make sense, which is why I think he got taken out.
I have a question. When he was in the WWE and Rey Mysterio was there around the same time, wasn't he a heel?
Yes.
So
He was.
how could Rey Mysterio have been his brother the whole time?
Well, the thing is,
Or I've been his family the whole time.
and that's the part that doesn't make sense, Elio,
Right.
because to me, the only time that they were ever, brothers, so to speak, was when Carlito made the save when he made his return in Puerto Rico.
Right, that's
And
what I'm saying. How can they have been family this whole time when he was a heel back then?
I don't know. But I'm thinking maybe they saw the logic gap, and that's why they changed the match. Because personally, I'm much more interested in Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar than I am in Carlito versus Santos
Yeah.
Escobar. And Dragon Lee has much more of a c emotional connection to Rey Mysterio and much more of a reason to take up for Rey Mysterio than Carlito does. But having said that, I was very much looking forward to this match, and it was very disappointing. Not that what we got was bad, but I feel like it barely scratched the surface of what these two are capable of. And it really seems like they are pushing toward making Dragon Lee the next big star in WWE in terms of Lucha Libre, kind of like passing the mantle from Rey Mysterio to him. And if that is the case, which I'm in full support of, by the way, then this was not the way to get it started.
So Ben, would you say this is a 4-star?
Hell no.
Wrestling Data would disagree with you. They gave it a 4.3.
Well, I don't care what wrestling data thinks, because clearly I have more wrestling knowledge than wrestling data does, because how in the hell you look at that match and be like, "Yep, that's a 4-star match." Go fuck yourself.
What would you give it?
And 2.5.
All right, here we go with that guy. Decent while it lasted, but felt rushed. Ultimately disappointing for two guys of this caliber. 3 stars.
Well, I agree with his comments, but I don't agree with his rating. I think the rating was too generous, to tell you the truth. I wanted I, the good thing is that this match left me wanting more, which I think we're going to get. But I think where I have a problem is that, this match took place on a pay-per-view,
It felt
and
like Monday Night Raw match. Another Monday Night Raw match.
exactly. This match took place on a pay-per-view, which means it's in an elevated position, which means it's a perfect place to spotlight Dragon Lee for those that may not have seen him, because, let's face it, NXT is not good. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how many, sexy boy ass kissers there are.
What? Okay.
NXT is not a good product, so it's perfectly reasonable to believe that not a lot of main roster fans have seen Dragon Lee on NXT on any sort of continuous basis. So this was not a good spotlight for Dragon Lee.
So we had 2 Monday Night Raw matches in a row so far.
And there's one more coming, and I believe it's up next.
Well, I know, I'm just saying so far because we still have a few more to go.
Exactly.
So next match is for the Women's World Heavyweight Championship, Rhea Ripley versus Zoe Stark. Again, another one that didn't really have much of a
Oh,
build.
Jesus
No
Christ.
build at all. You had Zoe Stark winning a Battle Royal to earn the number one contendership, but you didn't really have time to build up the story. No interaction with Rhea Ripley whatsoever.
Exactly. Elio just said it. We could stop the review right there and move on to the next match, but we're not going to do that because I have to say my bit for this to be a balanced review. Really, I couldn't say it much better than what you said. You know, I'm a fan of both ladies. You know, I think Zoe Stark has a lot of potential. You know, she kind of reminds me of a Lita back in the day. You know, and she, you know, a lot of no nonsense, you know, straightforward, you know, fight kind of lady, and that's awesome. But at no point did I actually believe that she had a chance against Rhea Ripley. To Zoe Stark's defense, I don't think they could have put any lady in there. I don't think I would have felt like any other opponent would have had a realistic chance against her based on how this women's division has been presented since Rhea Ripley has won the championship, because no other woman has been built up enough to make me believe that Rhea has a realistic chance of losing that championship. So that's not her fault, but to me, this match was very reminiscent of the match that Rhea had with Zelina Vega in Puerto Rico, minus the crowd support that Zelina had because it was in her hometown.
Mm-hmm. So this one for me, 2 stars, because again, this is the third Monday Night Raw match on this show.
In a row, mind you, in a row.
Yep.
I mean, that does not bode well for a pay-per-view that had 5 total matches, and we're saying 3 of them didn't have to be on the show. That's not good, folks. That's not a good ratio.
So I gave it a 2. What do you have?
I give it the exact same thing.
Wrestling Data gave it 3.3.
Oh, fuck. Well, they must be a bunch of incels who are thinking with a different part of their body, if you catch my drift.
And the other reviewer said, Stark has raw talent, and this was okay, but ultimately predictable and forgettable. 3 stars.
Well, I
see how the review doesn't see how the review doesn't match the ratings.
Yeah.
All right, on to the next match, we have the men's war game, the main event. And we had Cody Rhodes' team, which consists of Cody, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, and Randy Orton defeating the Judgment Day, which had Judgment Day and Drew McIntyre.
Very good.
So this match, I thought this was a really great match. I really enjoyed everything about this one.
Yeah, yes, I did too. And match wise, this really saved the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Because it had everything that we needed for a feud that had gone as long as Team Cody versus Judgment Day, because it feels like we had gotten some variation of that in the main event of Raw forever. So hopefully we can move past that for the foreseeable future, because I am no longer interested in seeing Judgment Day versus Cody or any sort of variation of that ever.
You think we're going to get... I think we're going to see Judgment Day. We're going to see tensions start building between the Judgment Day.
Well,
leading up to the Rumble.
I think we're already starting to see that. And, you know, it's... On one hand, I'm really enjoying Judgment Day, so it's like I'm hesitant to see the breakup, but at one point, or on the other hand, you know, Judgment Day has been so oversaturated on WWE programming that it almost feels that their time is running out.
Okay.
You know? So, I mean, so I have no complaints about the match. I would say that this is easily the match of the night.
Yep.
You know, and we're going to get into some other stuff that, you know, save the pay-per-view. I think Randy Orton coming in was really helpful.
Holy jeez, Randy Orton looked great in the match.
Yes, he looked fucking... I've never seen him look that good.
No.
I have never in my life. And Randy has always been a specimen. Randy has always been, you know, I mean, the girls' reaction every time they see Randy will tell you what Randy looks like, okay? I'm just telling you the truth. But, I mean, this was a different level. This was holy shit.
Yeah.
And we'll get more into it on Raw, but when Randy said Daddy's back, I think the girls can tell you the double meaning of that. you know, I'm neither me nor Elio are going down that road because we don't swing that way, but nope. You know, it's just the dude looked good. But having said that, and this is not a criticism of Randy, but why advertise him all week long? Why have him, be confirmed by Cody as a member of their team and then tease all night long at Survivor Series that he might not show up? That part did not make sense to me at all.
I agree. And I think they should have had the go-home show. If you're going to bring up his name, at least have him walk out onto the stage to close out the show.
Yeah, exactly. Or if you're going to run with the angle that he might not show up, at least plant that seed earlier on in the story. Don't wait until you've already confirmed to the fans that are waiting to see him.
Right.
That, he might not show up now. So that was just dumb.
So what do you have for this match?
I would give this match a 4.5 out of 6.
Wrestling Data gave it a 5.1.
Okay.
Okay. And here we go with our other reviewer. So for this match, we got bloodless generic war games with Orton and team doing the same shtick they've been doing forever. A pinball on the ass of the original war games classic with the Four Horsemen, Road Warriors, Dusty, etc. I could have easily lived without it. 3 1/4 stars. Like,
what?
This guy doesn't make sense. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't see it there. You have to consider the story with Judgment Day and company. But in all fairness, when you look back at the earlier War Games matches,
yeah.
I think that may be where he's coming from, and from that angle, I can see that. But, this is a different time period, different WWE, and you're not going to have blood all over the place. You're just not, because we have. And does that make sense for a War Games match? To his point, no, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But it's just the reality of the situation. You're not going, we know this from 2008, you know, since they went PG, you're not going to have blood all over the place, right? when you have you know, sponsors and you have toys, you know, being made for kids, and you know, you have the USA and NBC to answer to. That, you know, that's a different it's a different time, and you're dealing with entirely different things that you weren't dealing with in the 80s when we're talking about the original War Games.
Yeah. So what do you give this whole pay-per-view?
I would honestly give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay, let's see what
and so hold
first
on,
of all.
Oh,
yeah, go on.
But obviously we're missing the part when CM Punk came out and made the wrestling world just
Right.
collectively fall on its ass.
Yeah, but you see what I did there? I went off the air just before CM Punk came out. And as he
Exactly.
came out. So I went off the air, asked for your rating as we're in CM Punk. So go on.
Yes. And I'm sorry I didn't play along, but I wasn't thinking. But anywho, yeah, 7.8 out of 10. And then, of course, we get the static to hit and call the personality, which objectively is such a fantastic song.
Fans,
God damn, that's a great song.
I wonder if fans realize that the Call to Persona is not a new theme.
No, it's not, you fucking nerds.
It's as old as Ben, okay? It came out in 1988.
Thank you.
It's like you know what annoys me? Is that every time this was before CM Punk came back, but even if they just played that at a hockey game, fans were like losing their minds. They're like, oh, CM Punk didn't come back. Watch, watch. This is a sign.
Yeah, well, and let's talk about that whole thing for a minute. We have a little over
we still have a bit of time.
9 minutes before we get kicked off, and I feel like, you know, the podcast would be missing something if we didn't talk about this somewhat extensively. The reaction when CM Punk came back, obviously being in Chicago, was going to be huge. But what I noticed the most on social media in the aftermath of his return, from those that were saying that he was going to come back, was like, oh, you guys are idiots if you didn't realize he was going to come back. Oh, if you're in the podcast... Oh, if you're in the podcast game and you do this professionally and you said he wasn't going to come back, you're an idiot. Well, guess what, folks? I've been watching wrestling for 30-some fucking years, you know. And
I've been watching it for 40.
And I can assure you that we're not fucking idiots. We're also not social media marks who have an orgasm every time we get what we want.
Right.
Or have a temper tantrum every time we get what we every time we don't get what we want. Sound familiar, you dipshits? So no, you know, we're not morons just because we didn't agree with what you had with what you saw coming or didn't see coming. By the way, if you hadn't shown up, you would have been saying the exact opposite, calling us morons for a different reason. So shut the fuck up.
Right?
Nobody knew what was gonna happen. Nobody ever knew what was gonna happen with CM Punk. Shut the fuck up.
Wrestling fans are the absolute worst in 2023. Y'all are just the worst.
No, just shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
Is that enough? But in all
seriousness, pissed off Ben.
But it really annoys me because it's just like, there's no way you saw that coming.
Right?
No. I mean, we touched on it earlier, but again, Elio, did you honestly think CM Punk was going to show up?
No, I even said it. I don't see him showing up. I don't think WWE would bring him back.
And I didn't think WWE would bring him back. And I've even said, and this is where, and remember I said, feel free to call me out on my bullshit. Okay? and this is where, so I said, you know, based on their past and what CM Punk has said in the past, I don't think that he's coming back. I have actually been supportive of CM Punk, where my other co-hosts, including Elio, have not. I have said that I respect CM Punk because he has the same quality that I have in terms of saying fuck it when other people expect me to do something and I do the opposite and people have a conniption fit. Elio, am I telling a lie?
No, you're right.
I have always said that. I've said that I respect CM Punk for standing up for himself and always doing what he thought was right. I also said that I thought it was bullshit the way that he left AEW, and I was pissed off in the immediate aftermath of him in that Wembley situation, and I said I think that was a fucked up situation on all sides, including CM Punk and Jack Perry and Tony Khan. Did I not say that?
Yep.
Thank you. So am I a bullshit artist like these people on social media?
Nope.
Do I give it to you straight 100% of the time?
Yep.
Thank you. And would you, and finally, would you call me out on my bullshit if I was lying to you?
Yes, I'd be like, you're lying.
Yeah, absolutely. He'd be more annoying than Vince McMahon writing TV. So everybody shut the fuck up.
Yep.
You know, just enjoy. I'm not gonna say just enjoy wrestling because that's what everybody says. But enjoy the history of what we're getting ready to see. Now in terms of Monday Night Raw and what we saw from CM Punk on that side of things, I'm going to feed you more information and more controversy, which Elio will continue to call me out on if I'm telling lies, on the other side of the break. Elio, do you have anything to say about CM Punk, or do you want to wait until...
No, I'm going to wait until Monday Night Raw.
Okay, very good.
Oh, wait, did you give your rating for the pay-per-view?
I give it a 7.8 out of, or 7.5 out of 10.
I give it the same about Wrestling Data. I gave it a 4.7 out of 6.
Oh, fuck off.
And to the end, before we go, we have the wrap up of what that guy this thing thought about the review itself. A generic vanilla WWE card with nothing great, nothing terrible, and zero surprises. Predictable and just okay
zero
matches.
Zero surprises.
Predictable. Hold up. Predictable and just okay matches abound, with the singles matches feeling like time killers between the two war games. All in all, 3-hour mediocrity that I didn't need to see. WWE strives for predictability and the fans pop like Pavlov's dog.
Oh god! Well, for the mediocre matches in between the war games, I agree. But everything else is like, what the fuck?
Zero surprises. What were you watching?
Hello, we got the biggest surprise in over a fucking decade.
I mean, come
fucking...
on! And then he compared AEW to the war games. He compared Full Gear to war games. And,
what?
Yeah, he compared the two
pay-per-views.
See, my co-host is returning to bullshit, and Ben, I will read that for you after we return from the break.
Yeah, very good.
And we're back, and we're going to get into Monday Night Raw, and I'm gonna pass it over to Ben for that. So Ben, what do you got?
Yes, I almost jumped the gun on my introduction there. My apologies. That just shows you that we don't plan this shit ahead of time. So let's get into Monday Night Raw. And once again, a reminder, since this is a regular review now and we're done with Survivor Series, we are going to revert back to our highs and lows format, which, thank God, because Monday Night Raw at 3 hours, holy shit. I need psychological assistance after that. But we'll start with a high point because Randy Orton's return is absolutely that. Yes. Great to see Randy back after a year and a half. I honestly thought that after double fusion back surgery that he was done, especially at his age of almost 44 years old. So, but excellent to see Randy back, and especially with the condition that he's in. Oh my God. We've already covered that, but yes, he is exactly right when he says to Rhea Ripley that Daddy's back, and I am not gay, and I don't have a problem with anybody who is. But holy shit! Good for Randy for coming back in that condition. Suffice to say, he put Rhea Ripley in her place, and I'm very excited to see what happens now that Randy is back. And when it was announced that that Randy would be facing Dom in his first match back, Dom looked suitably terrified, and I don't blame him in the least.
Right.
So the other high point for me personally, because I'm a huge fan of this guy, but Raw was in Nashville and we did get an appearance from Jelly Roll, who is a very
sorry Ben. After we do our Raw, I remember what I was gonna do. I was gonna read that comparison of the two pay per views. So I'll do that after we're done Raw at the end of the review.
Absolutely. So, but as I was saying, I was very excited about Jelly Roll being on Raw, and he did shove both JD McDonagh and Dominic during the main event, which earned him recognition from Randy Orton. So I was having fun with Jelly Roll's appearance, and if you haven't heard his music, I highly recommend him, both from a rapping and country perspective, and I am not a fan of country music at all, but he is good stuff. And also from a rapping perspective, he's one of the only rappers I listen to, so I am a Jelly Roll fan, and I will always endorse him when I get an opportunity on this show. So there you go. The first high point from in ring perspective was I would say Ivar versus Bronson Reed. That is big meaty men slapping meat personified.
Sure. So your high point?
Yes.
I have this high point as well.
I thoroughly enjoyed that. The next high point I had was Dom versus Randy, as I briefly touched on just a few seconds ago. But, you know, you can't hate on Randy coming back after so long. So there you go. And then the other high point was CM Punk's return to Raw. I wouldn't say the promo in itself was a high point. It left a little bit to be desired, but the fact that we have CM Punk back in the WWE fold, I feel like I'm living in an alternate universe. I mean, you know, for all of those that said you saw this coming, you must be Nostradamus or some shit, because I'm floored by this. I mean, the comparison that I made, it was like, if CM Punk shows up, I'm no longer a disabled man, because that was the odds that I was placing on this whole thing. So there you go. But it is awesome to have CM Punk back in the WWE fold. And, you know, regardless of how you feel about him, from all the outside of the ring stuff, you can't deny that people remembered him. We always heard the chants, just like he said. And I will always be a CM Punk guy, and Elio can attest to the fact that I am not bullshitting. I have always been a CM Punk supporter. I've never detracted from it. And you know, if I've ever had a point where I disagree with CM Punk, I have said I disagree with him.
I was gonna say this. I don't hate CM Punk. I just hate all the drama that follows him wherever he goes.
But I honestly think it's because, you know, he says what he means, and he doesn't play the politics game. And I think in 2023, and even that back in 2014, that got him in trouble, because people aren't used to not playing that game. And I have a lot of respect for people who don't play that game, because I'm one of them. You know, even on the other show, I'm known for being controversial for some strange reason. And I don't see it as being controversial. I just see it as being myself.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of respect for people who can still speak their minds and not back down from societal expectation. Because I can speak for myself that if I hadn't been able to be myself and tell you exactly how I feel, that I wouldn't be here today. Because if I had been what people expected me to be, one, I'd be brain dead, and two, I'd already be dead. So, and that's a true story. People, you know, when I was born, you know, people, doctors told my parents, he's going to be brain dead. You know, he's going to be in a playpen for the rest of his life. He's not going to do anything. You're going to have to do everything for him. And, you know, fast forward 35 years later, and here I am, motherfuckers. So, loss on you, win for me. The rest of you suck.
All right.
There you go. So, I have a lot of respect for CM Punk, so there you go. And from a wrestling perspective, I think that this opens up a lot of possibilities for WrestleMania season. And
but don't put the belt on him right away.
No, I'm not.
Is it good? Because I was reading where they're planning to have him feud with Roman Reigns. I'm like, oh boy, too early.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not saying put the belt on him. I'm not saying that at
no,
all.
No, I'm saying that because what I was reading, I'm like, too early for that.
I agree wholeheartedly, and but you know, I'm hoping that, especially now that we have different people in charge, and you know, I think if you'll recall, Triple H was one of the main detractors from CM Punk back in the day, and if he can put their differences aside and sign them and do business, the right way, I think it should have been done in AEW in the first place, because there was a lot of money to be made with CM Punk and FTR versus the Young Bucks.
But he does suck at MMA. He did bad at MMA, though.
Yeah, he got exposed in the UFC, but I'm saying within the wrestling space, there's a lot you can do with CM Punk. And there were a lot of missed opportunities because of bruised egos and dick measuring contests that I have no interest in, you know. I never really got the need for that. You either have it or you don't. You either have the ability to do something and do what's right for business, or you don't. And in that case, you should get the fuck out. And I'm also talking to the Young Bucks when I say that, because they are they're the ones doing victory laps and all that bullshit.
Young Bucks are a bunch of children that will never grow up.
Yeah, so they can fuck right off, and they are significantly overrated, in my opinion.
Yep.
So there you go. Low points. I'm gonna give it to that tag team turmoil match, largely because of Indusher's involvement. I'm sorry, any match you're in, I can't take seriously. I'm also going to give Nia Jax match a low point.
Oh, that was a great match. It was outstanding. Come on.
No, it wasn't, but you're adorable.
It was terrible. Come on.
I appreciate the attempt at comedy. I really do.
No, for real, I'm sorry for Zoe Stark, though, because she shouldn't be in a match with Nia Jax. That's a low point.
Well, yes, and aside from the typical Nia Jax criticism, which I think is just, I would also say that it makes no sense for Zoe Stark to be in there, especially the 2 days after she was competing for a championship. What the fuck? You know, say what you want about the match and how that turned out, but just the fact that you have her competing for a championship and then 2 days later you have her in the ring with Nia Jax, and that's always going to be an eyebrow raiser for me. So I'm not interested there. So those were my high points and low points for Raw, and now we will pass it over to Elio for his take on Monday Night Raw and CM Punk. So, Elio, you now have the opportunity to drop a pipe bomb of your own.
So my
Here
high
you go, sir.
My first high point, of course, Randy Orton returning at the top of the show opening segment. I can see the tag. I can see why I put the tag team turmoil as a low point with Indusher. Like any match with Indusher, I just don't get. I gave it a high point just for the Creed brothers, because I think they did really well.
I do love the Creed brothers. It did look like Giovanni Vinci may have gotten hurt at the very end there on the Brutus ball.
Another high point I gave it to Ivar and Bronson Reed. Poor security. I wouldn't want to be security trying to break those two up.
No, I'm just going for my own health. For my own health and well-being, I'm going to stay out of it.
Now, another high point. During Seth Rollins' promo, you notice how Drew McIntyre got cut the hard way.
Yeah, I did.
Because I went back to watch the video. I didn't see that first. Then I went to watch the video back, and you can hear his when he headbutted Rollins. You can hear his head
absolutely.
Make contact with the belt. I'm like, oh, I felt that.
Yeah, and clearly, so did Drew McIntyre.
But that was okay. I mean, it was what we expected. We already knew Drew was gonna like. Go full blown heel, Although I am confused as to why he was tagging the fans on his way out. Also, the Cody Rhodes, I was not expecting Shinsuke Nakamura. I was like, wait a minute, what? This is who he, Cody is the one he was talking about this whole time.
Yeah, I mean, look, Cody Rhodes and Shinsuke, I'm not going to complain about that, but it's a little bit weird.
It is. It was like, I don't know if they changed the plans at the last minute because it just seems like an odd feud.
Yeah.
But I love this new Shinsuke Nakamura. You know what? I got mad at this, as a lot of other people got mad at this one person who called Shinsuke Nakamura trash and doesn't deserve to be in the ring. His character is just weird.
Who called him that?
On Instagram, some one of these stupid fanboys said Shinsuke Nakamura's in the ring is trash. He doesn't deserve to be in the WWE ring.
Okay, well, you don't deserve to be watching Shinsuke Nakamura in that case. Fuck off.
So, another high point was the Dominic Mysterio Randy Orton. On to my low points, Nia Jackson, Zoey Stark. I'm sorry, Zoey.
Yeah, I
And
deeply apologize.
Natalya and Tegan Nox versus Piper Niven and Chelsea Green.
Yes, you weren't speaking enough. You had to go, Chelsea Green.
I know.
Oh,
It didn't work. I'm not gonna. I couldn't make voice crack. But oh my God! You know what? Natalia has heat with me now.
why is that?
Did you catch what she said? When she did that flying crossbody, she's like, "Yay!"
Oh my God.
Like,
Just stop. Please don't do that.
That's why Natalia, you have heat with me. Yay is my catchphrase.
Well, at least you didn't say hooray.
Yeah, well, that's true. So that's all I got for high points. Which also I'm gonna give a low point to the CM Punk, not for the return, but for the promo, because it's basically like we've heard that promo before.
Oh, from CM Punk.
Yeah, and I think they that was reading where they cut it down for time, because it was originally gonna go longer.
Yeah.
So those are my high points, low points.
Well, those were some good high points, low points, I'll tell you that. I agree. Should we get into the tournaments?
Yes, now we're gonna move over to the tournaments. Ben, I've got two tournaments for you. The first one will be the greatest USWA champion.
Oh, very cool.
Actually, I'm gonna give you the choice of which one you want to do first. Do you want to do the USWA or the 10 best technical wrestlers in WCW?
We'll do the USWA one, that's fine.
All right. First match, we have Bill Dundee versus Terry Funk.
I'm always gonna go Terry Funk.
All right. And now, in our triple threat elimination, we have, I'm sorry, but we have Awesome Kong versus Jimmy Valiant versus Owen Hart.
When was Awesome Kong
I, you know
USWH?
what? I have no idea. That's
Okay,
just one of the names I saw on the list.
so I got distracted. What were the other names in the Triple Threat?
Jimmy Valiant and Owen Hart.
Well, Owen Hart wins that match.
All right. So Owen Hart moves on. Okay. And then now on to the right bracket, we have Jeff Jarrett versus Eddie Gilbert.
Eddie Gilbert.
Okay. And now we have the next triple threat, Jerry Lawler versus Randy Savage versus Sid Vicious.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Jerry Lawler.
Okay. All right. So that brings us to the second round. We've got, actually this brings us to the final four. This is the semifinals. We've got Terry Funk versus Owen Hart.
Oh God, that's painful. I'm going to have to go Owen Hart.
Okay. And we have Jerry Lawler versus Eddie Gilbert.
Jerry Lawler.
All right. And now it brings us to the final two. In the finals, we have Owen Hart versus Jerry Lawler.
For this, I'm going to have to go Jerry Lawler.
All right. So, there we go. There we go. So Jerry Lawler wins the greatest USWE champion. So Ben, this is what the bracket looks like. This is what you did right there.
It's a thing of beauty, isn't it?
All right. So now we move on to the greatest technical wrestler in WCW. Are you ready for this one?
Yes, sir.
We have Ric Flair versus William Regal.
William Regal.
All right. And then our triple threat, we have Bret Hart versus Lance Storm versus Ricky Steamboat.
Bret Hart.
Okay. Then we have, on the right bracket, Kurt Hennig versus Fit Finlay.
Kurt Hennig.
All right. And the second triple threat. Eddie Guerrero versus Jushin Liger versus Dean Malenko.
Dean Malenko.
Okay.
I've always had a fondness for Dean Malenko.
Oh, let me fix that. All right. So that brings us to our final four. We have William Regal versus Bret Hart.
In a technical wrestling conversation, Bret Hart's never going to lose a one-on-one matchup. I'm sorry.
Okay. And then we have Kurt Hennig versus Dean Malenko.
Dean Malenko.
Ooh. All right. And then our finals is Bret Hart versus Dean Malenko.
As painful as this is, because one of my first favorite wrestlers was Dean Malenko, I have to live up to what I just said, because I truly believe this. Bret Hart is never going to lose a one-on-one match when you're talking about a technical wrestler conversation. So I got to go with Bret Hart.
All right. So there we go. That is the bracket for that tournament right there. The bottom one.
I'm such a, I'm good at this. Yes. I tell you, people should pay me for this shit. All
right, what's going on? Come on, let's get going here. All right, so let me stop. Yeah, that's about it. We have. Oh wait, I wanted to read that the final summary for the two pay per views.
Cool.
All right, this is from coming from that guy. So I spent the past two Saturday nights watching wrestling, AEW's pay-per-view and Survivor Series. What did I get for my 8 hour or so investment? One, count them, one great match. Swerve Strickland versus Hangman Page in Texas Deathmatch. Which begs the question, why do two of the greatest rosters in wrestling history deliver only one great match between two long shows? Or there were plenty of okay, good, and even very good matches, but I come from an era where the NWA and other world champs went out night after night and delivered four-star matches, even classics. Now they're almost as rare as Halley's Comet. Yet the fans will pour into these shows with religious fervor, paying obscene amounts of for carbs that mostly don't touch a $10 NWA Crockett show from the 1980s. The AEW versus WWE Imaginary Fanboy War is good and fine, but I'm here to tell you that they both are underachievers.
Well, that's one way of putting it, and I...
Oh, sorry, there's more. Today is all about the overwrought entrances, stilted promos, and silly angles. Don't give me that Triple H is a genius shtick. When he's delivering Vanilla Pablum and Tony, we don't need a dozen matches a night with meaningless 6 and 8 man tag matches slapped together to give everybody and their mother a spot. In short, there's something intrinsically wrong when so many great wrestlers aren't having great matches.
Well, this might surprise you, but it's hard to argue with a lot of what he just said there. Especially the end there. I will say I thought there was several really good matches to come out of Full Gear. Mm-hmm. I think there was more than one very, very good match to come out of Full Gear. I certainly understand that argument more on the side of Survivor Series because, you know, we talked about three matches that we felt didn't belong on the card. So that that argument certainly holds more water over on the Survivor Series side of things. And I certainly think that the men's War Games match saved face for the pay-per-view from a wrestling perspective. And then, of course, CM Punk and Randy Orton's return really bolstered interest in those pay-per-views because according to some, it was so obvious that CM Punk was going to show up, which I still beg to differ on, and I think Elio does too. Yep. I think what's most interesting for me is, and I think what that statement highlights, what I take out of that is the tribalism out of WWE and AEW is very interesting.
Yeah.
Because I do think that there were many more quality matches than that statement gives credit for. And he's... That statement makes him sound like an AEW fanboy to me.
He hates WWE so I can't tell you how much he can't stand WWE.
Well, and it comes through on that statement right there. That's understandable. And with that, I think we'll.
We don't have anything else. We said we were going to do Wrestling Latin. We're going to save the mystery for Saturday, the murder mysteries.
Yeah, so I think we'll take our final break, and then we'll get into Wrestling Roulette.
All right, we're back. We're going to get into Wrestling Roulette, the final segment. I played 21 tracks, 10 seconds, and Ben has to guess which theme that restaurant theme belongs to. Ben, are you for your first one?
Yes, I am.
And actually, before we start, let me open my tally counter so I can keep track. So give me a minute, I'll be right back.
And in the meantime, I will ramble to entertain you. Maybe I will provide a running commentary of what Elio is doing right now. He's looking around, kind of. I'm sure he misplaced his iPad. Very good. Right now he's out of my picture, so hopefully you guys are enjoying our Survivor Series review so far.
I found it. It was camouflaged on my bed.
There you go.
That's what happens when you have a dark phone. It hides itself. It doesn't want to be found.
I have that with my phone all the time. Although mine's blue, so it's a tad bit easier, but still.
All right, so let me just open the tally. Here we go. All right, so we're gonna reset it to zero. And Ben, are you ready for your first one?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. Meters to volume.
Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch. All right, number two.
Sid Vicious.
No, it is not. It is Norman Bates. Yeah, it's Sid Vicious. Well, Psycho Sid, Austin, it's Sid Vicious. Same person. All right, number three, are you ready?
Yep. I'm not sure who that is.
That is Scotty Riggs, WCW.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that.
Okay, number four.
Oh, that version didn't have my favorite part, Gene Snitsky.
Gene Snitsky. Was he on a recent episode of Raw?
Yeah, he was backstage.
Yeah, where he did his It's Not My Fault line.
Yeah.
What was he there for? Was he just there just like visiting backstage or?
Yeah, and then they like randomly showed him on screen. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right, number five. Here we go.
Mick Foley.
No, it is not.
Oh, just shut up.
That's not what I have here.
Good God, are you
it's,
serious?
It's Mankind. Okay, go on. It's Mick Foley. You're on number four. Here we go. Number six. Are you ready?
Yeah. Austin Theory?
No, it is not. That is Odyssey Jones.
Yeah, where is he at? Wasn't he a draft pick for Raw and then he never showed up or some shit?
Right, and I thought I read that where they were original plans to bring him in to Bobby Lashley's stable, but they scrapped those plans.
Yeah, I
don't know. All right, here we go, number seven.
Imperium.
Imperium. All right, number eight.
When was Offspring a wrestling theme? Holy shit. I know the song. By the way, you got to keep them separated. But I'm not sure whose theme that is.
All right, so that is Raven's ECW theme.
Since when? What the fuck? Good God.
No, I even looked this up. I was looking up a whole list of ECW themes.
All right. Well, and I watched ECW, but I don't recall that. Okay.
So that was number eight, right?
Yeah.
All right, number nine.
Pass. I'm not sure.
That is Ahmed Johnson, which I always never get. And I'm still getting comments on the interview we did with him 10 years ago.
Oh, that's hilarious.
All right, so number 10, here we go.
Undertaker.
Undertaker. All right.
Pass.
This is number 11, no, number 10, or this is number 11, right?
This is number 11, yeah.
All right, that is Jack Swagger.
Oh, boo.
All right, here
He better not come back on Wednesday with that fucking purple hat.
go. Right, Jesus, right? All right, here we go.
I have not a clue.
That is Tamina.
Well, why would I know that? She's never on.
Right.
Sorry, but I gotta pass again. I really don't know that one.
That is Sting's WCW theme.
Jesus Christ.
Ew.
We're falling off a cliff here. I have no idea.
That is Bob Sparkplug Holly.
Jesus Christ.
Jim Johnston's early days were not good for wrestling themes.
No, apparently not. Lex Luger? I don't know.
No, that's another one I always miss. That's Rocky Maivia.
Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry, Rock.
All right, here we go. 17. No, 16.
Okay. Another horrible remix of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes, I don't know why they gave him so many versions of this his theme. It's weird.
Yeah,
So I don't remember him ever using any of them.
well, no wonder he didn't use that one because holy shit.
All right. All right. 17, here we go.
I don't know.
That is Kevin Von Erich.
Yeah, no way I would have gotten that. That's okay.
18, here we go.
Back in the win column with Shelton Benjamin.
Shelton Benjamin. All right, number 19, here we go.
That is very early Batista.
Yes, Batista. All right, number 20.
Pass.
That is King Corbin.
I've never been more proud of myself that I missed one.
I think that's
you
like
know a... what? You know what? We should add a point just for shits and giggles because I missed that.
You know what? We can actually do that. I'll do it. You know what? That's actually his King of the Ring version of his theme, by that group. What's that group?
I don't know. CFO?
No. That one guy that does his theme, I Bring the Darkness.
Oh, Tommy Vex.
Yeah, this is a King of the Ring version of that. That's why that ending at the beginning is like, sounds like a royal intro.
Yeah.
Because it's that theme with that intro. All right. Last one, are you ready?
Yes, sir. Bobby Lashley?
No, it's not. That is Liv Morgan.
Oh God, I was way off.
That's her old NXT theme.
Ugh, okay.
All right.
That was a very bad miss.
21 tracks, you got 10. I just did that Grand Corp one first for fun.
Well, not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. So.
All right, but let's see what would have been next. Ready for 22.
Very good.
Let's see what's next.
Yo, 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 yo. Baba 40 and check your rollies. It's crime time.
Crime time.
What is wrong with me?
Oh, God.
All right, so that is it. For wrestling roulette.
But anytime you can give Shad Gaspard a shout out on this show, I'm cool with that.
Right.
Man, died a hero. That's my kind of guy right there.
All right. So, Ben, I think we should bring the show to a close.
Very good.
Okay. That is it for episode 287 of the PC Progression Wrestling Podcast. I'm Elio. He's Ben. Ben, what do we have planned for? Well, we have our regular show back here
on Saturday.
On Saturday, episode 288. But what do we have planned for next Tuesday?
And then we finally have the return of Wrestling History 101. I know we kind of did a episode dump on you and then seemingly went away from it, but we did not forget. We were just trying to get past all this pay-per-view stuff. But it returns. On Tuesday, next Tuesday, of course, and by the way, I can't believe I'm gonna say this, folks, but can you believe we still have 3 more pay-per-views this year?
Oh my goodness! I know we have Deadline, our Final Battle, and World's End.
And that's all in December.
Jeez.
So, and then we have the Royal Rumble on top. I mean, to kick off the year. So
you know, Ben wants to do retro reviews. He doesn't want to just do 3 pay per views in 1 month. He would like a break. So would I.
Yeah, I mean, I would, you know, because that's one of my favorite things we do is the retro reviews. I love doing those, but it's like we don't have time to do those and the Wrestling History 101s because it's like, you know, it's either one or the other because we're dealing with all these pay-per-views. Not that that's a problem because the pay-per-views, you know, give us tons of content and you know, it's real conversation starters to come on here and chat with our with our fans, which we absolutely adore. You know, that's why we're, you know, if you count everything, this will actually be like our 303rd recording in the history of this show. But, you know, it's just like, Jesus Christ, you know, three pay-per-views in December. I don't think we've ever had three pay-per-views in December.
No.
Because December in particular, folks, and I'm not kidding, usually that's like a dead month for wrestling because of the holidays and stuff. But not this year, apparently. But don't worry, we will have you all covered as 2023 comes to an end, and 2024 we'll get off to a roaring start. And don't forget, Cody Rhodes announced himself as the very first entrant in the 2024 Royal Rumble.
Yay!
Hooray!
So, we are on Tuesday, we have Royal Rumble 88. And now, Ben, I was looking at the list. Did you want to do WrestleMania 4 after that one?
Yeah.
Okay, we can do that then. So we are set. We have Royal Rumble 88, and then the following week we'll have WrestleMania 4. So
very good.
For my co-host Simon Elohim, Ben, say goodnight to the fans.
After what feels like a very lengthy conversation, thanks for hanging out with us for our Survivor Series post show, and Don't let the internet wrestling community leave you jaded. Guys, enjoy what's going on in pro wrestling right now. This is a very cool period. I personally feel like we're in the twilight zone in the coolest possible way. So I hope you guys are having as much fun as we are. And we will be with you every step of the way for 2023 and 2024, well beyond. Until next time, we are the PNC Progression Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to the greatest love you.